I can't do nothing about that for you. In your prayers, the first one listed is Russell Barber. I haven't heard any more news, but he, of course, his mother is in very poor health. So remember Russell Barber. Yes. Okay. Barbara Gerard, for her back this coming Wednesday. Okay. Long time member here. Some of you are not familiar with her, but she used to attend here for a long time. And she's had trouble with her back for several months now. Hopefully the doctors will correct that. I want to thank everyone who participated in Black Gold and everyone who prayed for Black Gold. Seemed like we had a very good, very successful Black Gold. Okay, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our wonderful Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for that He's with us and He works with us and He strives to correct us when we fail. And we know we can't do without Him. We pray this morning that as we study more about the Holy Spirit, that you'll be with us and you'll help us to see and gain more insight into the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, for those who are not with us. We pray for Russell Barber and his mother. We pray for Barbara Gerard, and we pray that she'll have a successful surgery. We thank you, Lord, for the work that was done at Black Gold. Thank you for those opportunities. Lord, we pray for our children, pray for their study. We ask, Lord, that in all things we do, we may glorify you. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. Okay, I want to start out by talking a little bit more about being filled with the Spirit. There's some things in your book that I didn't get to last week. But remember that Paul said, instead of being filled with wine, fill yourself with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Okay. And how do we fill ourselves with the Spirit? Well, we do so by through the Word of God. Okay. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another. And God's word is our spiritual sword. Ephesians 6:17 tells us that. Okay, so that's one way we fill the Spirit, are filled with the Spirit. Another way we saw was when we fill our thoughts, fill our mind with spiritual thoughts. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about such things. Okay. And as I said last week, I really like Romans 8:6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Spiritually minded. Okay. And then there was one other way that we talked about. Click too much. Okay. Surrender ourselves. Completely give ourselves over to the Spirit, God's Spirit. Remember Jesus said, Lord, not my will, but thine. Not my will, but thine. And we do that when we say, I have been crucified with Christ. No longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. Who loved me and gave himself for me. All right. So that's the way how we fill ourselves with the Spirit. Now, what I wanted us to see in your book was what he says on at the bottom of page 57. Bottom of page 57. Again, I have a, let me pause for a minute. Okay, everybody with me? Bottom of page 57. Paul says, quench not the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. In other words, don't put the fire out. That Spirit that's in you, that God and Christ have put in you and through the Holy Spirit, don't put it out. Stay in the Spirit. Continue in the Spirit. Okay. And then your book, a little bit further on, says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Okay? Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Okay? And when we say grieve, what are we talking about?
Probably sin.
Okay. The Lord would be, the Holy Spirit would be unhappy with us if we commit sin? Yes, yes. But more to the point, when we continue without any regret, okay, that's when he's grieved. Okay, I went ahead and put all the verses before that up on the screen, and I'm going to read through those. And notice how many times that it talks about sin. And yet there's a few things that are good as well. Okay. Ephesians 4, 25 through 30. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. For you are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. And do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Okay. Now, if you notice, there were several things. Do not be angry. Do not steal. Do not give the devil a foothold. That one I really like. Do not give a devil a foothold. I made that bold. And how does he get a foothold? When we continue in him without regret. Continue in him without regret, without remorse. And that's what your book points out too. In your book, about third way down, on page 58, where it says, yet Paul called the saints at Corinth carnal. And in what way were they carnal? Carnal, of course, is fleshly, worldly. Satan has three desires. First, keep you out of the kingdom. Second, to get you out of the kingdom once you are in. And if he fails in both those, he will sap your spiritual strength with secret sins. Sap your spiritual strength with secret sins. What's he talking about there? Well, we can keep our sins unknown from our neighbor or from our brothers. But God knows, doesn't he? God certainly knows. Okay? So that's what he's talking about there. When we continue in sin, and We know ourselves. God knows. Others may not. That's what you're talking about, secret sins. Okay. And then it goes on to say, thus neutralizing your strength with an indifferent and lukewarm spirit. While you're under his control, you require little attention and effort. But when filled with God's Spirit and you resist him, Satan will flee from you. Okay? James 4:7. Okay? So that's well said. And that's how we grieve the Holy Spirit. Turn our back toward him, continue in sin, have no remorse. He is grieved by that. Okay, any thoughts on that?
Yes, if anybody has perfected the ability to get angry and not sin, they should teach next quarter. It's so easy for us when we get angry to stumble, to get emotional. I'll just say emotional for me. And when strong emotions take hold of me, I react. And God calls us to be thoughtful and act. Mm-hmm. And not to just be fleshly and reactionary. That's how strife happens. And that's how to keep an argument going, is to react. Mm-hmm. And talk real fast back to somebody and loud. And words of peace, words of comfort, reconciliation, repentance, you know, apologies. These are spiritual things. And it can be really hard when we're caught up in emotion to do the right thing. I'll just say that. And I might be the only one, but I don't think I am.
Oh, no. No. You definitely not. Yes, Jim?
How I would know that I'm not totally filled with the Holy Spirit if I still fall prey to temptation? Because it says if you are filled with the Spirit, the devil will flee from you. So if I still am subject to some carnal temptation,
no, no, no. You are human.
Pardon?
You are human. I'm saying this: everyone is affected the same way. Every one of us is tempted. We
so
never.
Hypothetical that if you are totally filled with the Spirit, the devil will flee from you. He is not fleeing totally from me, is what I'm trying to tell you.
Okay. Well. All I can say in response to your question, Jim, is that we all are going to be tempted. Well, none of us are perfect, but we can still keep on feeling and keep on trying. Keep on reading the Bible. Keep on having good thoughts. Never let the devil get a stronger foothold. In other words, he's still going to tempt you. He's still going to be after you. That's his job. The devil is after every one of us. Okay. Yeah, Jack.
Well, the point is, I've never understood that the devil flees from you. I think he's always, the stronger you become as a Christian, I think it's a challenge for him to woo you away.
Uh-huh.
I don't think the devil ever flees from us totally.
That's true. He's still going to come after us, every once, till the day we die. Maybe James should have used a different word. I'm not sure about that. But flee. He's never going to be gone. Yeah, Jack.
I look at our situation much like our heroes of the Bible, from the Old Testament, the New Testament. All of them stumbled and fell.
Mm-hmm.
They picked themselves up and went on, but they were still tempted. And like us, there was something there. They stayed with it, and they regained strength, and they went on. And this relationship, we're given that spirit, and it's there. But sometimes, I have to coach everybody on the road because they're not very good drivers.
So that's well said. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're exactly right. There was nobody in the Old Testament who lived a perfect life all the way through. Moses, David, you any of them, you can see where they stumbled. Yeah.
Identify when the devil's interfering with our plans. David, I think, said not long ago, when all your ministries are going good and your church is growing, watch out. Because that's the kind of situation the devil would want to interfere with.
Yes.
And I think that there's, to Jack's point, I think the reason those people are our heroes is they identified the diagnosed situation and they took corrective measure, repented of their behavior, and we, you know, some of to his point, some of David's lamentations and heartfelt grievances that he knows he grieved God and that he knows that he caused harm are just gut-wrenching for us to read, because I think that's that restorative nature. So I would just ask us to, A, remember that if you can see the devil working, you're probably about to win. But also, let's not forget to teach our younger Christians that, because it took me a long time to realize that's the devil trying to manipulate things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And once you know it's the devil working, half of his power is gone, because he's all about sneaking around and getting you to do his job for him. And once you know that's what's going on, it's easy to not participate. You wouldn't want to hold up your end of an argument if you thought it was to the devil's benefit, right?
Yeah.
So it's hard to have strife if you're not going to fight.
Okay. I see it in somebody else's hand. Kathy. That's well said. He's going to look for another weakness. Okay. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone see that? Very last sentence on page 58 in your book. We fill ourselves many times each day with air. Being filled with the Spirit, continuous action. Very last sentence on page 58. Thank you. Thank you for pointing that. Okay. Yes.
I think
And we're no different from them. And look at God's chosen people. How many times they did God's will and then they rejected God. And I think we need to kind of take some lessons from that, is that we can't get down on ourselves to the point where we give up. We just try harder.
Mm-hmm. You made me think of Peter. Of course, Peter made several mistakes, even while Jesus was with him. And then, go ahead. Yes, yes, he did. I was going to say that even Peter, after Christ had gone and rose, Peter, he was corrected by Paul. We know that from Galatians. In the first chapter of Galatians, Paul said that he had to correct Peter on one occasion because Peter was showing partiality. Okay. So even the greatest of even Peter, who probably should have known better, he's still doing wrong and needed help.
He had a lot of sin in his life too.
Yes.
We don't know exactly what he was talking about, but he did have it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was reminded of it all the time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. All this kind of leads into what we're going into next. Is there any more thoughts about do not grieve the Spirit? Okay. All right. You probably thought about this earlier in our study. How does the Holy Spirit speak to us today? How does he get our attention? And we have hit on it a number of times. But the first, we're going to talk about the different ways the Holy Spirit talks to us. He doesn't come out and speak verbally, but he does get our attention. So the first way is through our conscience. Through our conscience. And we've discussed that in various ways before. But, you know, when you were a child, you were told to listen to your conscience. Okay. When your conscience tells you to do something, it's for a reason. What was the saying? Let your conscience be your guide. Okay, remember hearing that when you were younger, and then that kind of went away. But that's good to remember. Let your conscience be your guide, because the Holy Spirit does talk to us through our conscience. Okay, he uses that as the primary means of communicating to us. Through our conscience. How would you define conscience? Okay. Well, the
mind. It's in the mind.
In your mind, yeah, okay.
If it's contrary to what your mother was telling you all those years.
What's the biblical truth that you started hearing when you were a child? Okay. So it's the ability to discern right from wrong. Wise and unwise is our conscience. Okay. And as I said, it's the primary way that the Holy Spirit talks to us. The term conscience appears 30 times in the New Testament. I did not realize it was in there that many times. 30 times in the New Testament. And Paul assures us that everyone has a conscience. Okay? Look at Romans 2. Up on the screen, Romans 2, 14 through 15. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature, the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. Okay, so what was he saying? Everyone has a conscience. Even the Gentiles, before they knew anything about God or anything about his laws, anything about Christ, their conscience would accuse them. Their conscience would speak to them. Okay. It's the same today. People who say they have no conscience, they're lying. You do have a conscience. Okay, so everyone has one. Now look at what's another scripture that Paul said. Another thing Paul said. Romans 9:1-3. I tell the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. Did you catch that? My conscience also bearing me witness, Holy Spirit, that I have great sorrow, continued grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brother, my countrymen according to the flesh. Okay, so what was Paul saddened about? Excuse me a minute, I'll get some water. The Hebrews. His countrymen. Okay. And what was it about his countrymen? The majority of them rejected Christ, didn't they? They had the opportunity, they had a chance to believe in Jesus, and they rejected him. So Paul says that I'd rather it had been me than all of my countrymen reject Christ. Okay? But the thing I want us to see there is that he had a good conscience in saying that. Okay? The Holy Spirit, and it says, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. Okay? He was truthful. And the Holy Spirit testified that. Okay. Everyone see that? Holy Spirit bearing witness through his conscience. And he was truthful when he said that. All right. Comments? Okay, let's go on a little bit. We'll know some other things about this conscience. The Holy Spirit will use three ways to speak for us through our conscience. First, he does as an instant warning device. Instant warning device. Okay. This is kind of like when you're driving and the light on your dash goes on telling you you're about out of gas. The Holy Spirit does that to us as well. Okay. Not about our gas, of course. But not about us going out of gas, but about telling us, don't do that. Don't go there. Okay, don't do this. Okay. And he told Paul, look at that example. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. Okay. Holy Spirit warned him. Holy Spirit told him that something dangerous is going to happen. And of course, we know later he was arrested. Okay. And that was the Holy Spirit. His conscience was telling him that. The Holy Spirit was telling him through his conscience. Okay.
Bruce, I think that the dash light, I won't learn to quit crying. And you don't want it to be that last one, right? You want to be sensitive, kind, generous, empathetic. And I think Christ is calling us to all those roles. But I would just say, let's make sure we understand the difference between, because I have more than once sat with somebody who had no idea that they had hurt somebody. Just were surprised as anything. They just never even occurred to them that would have happened. And that, to me, is an awareness problem. I'm not saying that lets us off the hook. If it's you yourself, don't let yourself off the hook. But if it's somebody else, consider letting them off the hook if they lacked awareness. But that's one of the things we can do for each other, is help each other understand when we do it. And
that's a very good point. Yeah.
So maybe. I love the driving analogy, because I think that's how my brain works. Is that light's there, you need to pay attention.
Yep. Holy Spirit talks to us, warns us. Pay attention, okay?
Does it then put some responsibility on the person to whom you hurt their feelings?
It does.
If they tell you right then on the spot, that hurts my feelings. Oh, well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Yeah. But we don't have a tendency to do that. We keep it held within, and it festers, and it builds, you know.
Right.
Yes, Larry.
An extreme example of that is Paul. You know, he actually put people to death, but he thought that he was doing the right thing.
In all good conscience, he thought. Let me go on and show you those other two ways that our conscience speaks to us. Holy Spirit uses our conscience as an accurate evaluator and discerner. Okay? And there's a couple of examples there. But I'll read the first one. Since then, and this is Paul speaking, since then we know what is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. Okay. Paul wrote 2 Corinthians to persuade the Corinthians that he was sincere, that he wasn't doing things dishonestly or for some other reason. He wrote the Corinthians for them. And so, their conscience was to be an accurate evaluator, was to be the discerner. Is Paul actually saying the truth? Okay, so that's what he meant by this verse. And it's the same with the next one as well. 2 Corinthians 4:2. Good examples of how our conscience evaluates and discerns. Okay. And then a third way, and I think we're all in agreement with this way. Holy Spirit uses the conscience to function as a judge and jury. What we learn as a child, we remember, and if we do something against our conscience, it convicts us, just like a judge or jury. Okay. And notice what Peter said. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason to hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience. Okay? Let your conscience tell you yes or no, you're doing right. Let yes or no that you're doing wrong. Okay? So that those who speak maliciously against your behavior, Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Okay. All right. So our conscience is going to tell us right or wrong. Okay? And it does through the Holy Spirit. Okay, so like we said with Paul and Peter, strive to keep your conscience clear. Keep your conscience clear before God and man. Acts 24:16. Okay, we still got 5 minutes. I want to get to this next part. How else does the Holy Spirit speak to us? Through the Bible. Holy Spirit speaks to us through the Bible. Have you ever had a scripture just literally like it jumped out at you? You're reading along something and, man, I had never seen that before. The Bible had never said that to me before. That's the Holy Spirit. Or you're looking for words of encouragement and you find them. The Holy Spirit speaking to you through the Word. Okay. Well, I could go on. You've read something in the past, and it really didn't faze you then. But now you read it, and it comes, well, I didn't realize that before. I didn't see that before. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Yes.
And so he wasn't the same guy that fell down there by the side of the road blind. He had to learn all those things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, you're right. Paul went off in the wilderness for 3 years. Yes.
He okay. just didn't get locked me off that because he was a long way on the other side of the fence.
Yeah, he was against Christ for a while. Yes. Okay. Okay, so the Bible is maybe the best way that the Holy Spirit talks to us, speaks to us, communicates to us, gets our attention. And up there I've got on the screen, the Bible is inerrant, meaning it is without error. Truthful in every way. If you don't want to know what God says about something, read the Bible. He will tell you through the Holy Spirit. And remember one of the first things we said when we started this study, that the Bible came by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to those who wrote it. The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. Okay. 2 Peter 1:20-21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Prophecy never came by the will of, I left something out. But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. I should also point out that Jesus said, I will guide you into all truth through the Spirit. So just kind of sum that up right there. We must spend time in the Bible. No substitute for not reading. No substitute for studying and reading and studying God's Word. David pointed that out a few weeks back. We must study. We must read. We must study. Okay, I didn't think I would get through, so I didn't. Next week, we'll continue talking about how the Holy Spirit speaks to us, because there's a couple of other things I want to point out. And then we'll try to wrap it up. Okay, one more week. Thank you for all your comments and all your help this morning.